In this audio, we will cover Ross vocabulary from lessons 37, 38, and 39. Let's begin with lesson 37. You'll find that on Ross page 271 and 272. I'll read these and have you repeat. Verbs: haya, hara, haya, hara, nata, Naha, ala, ana, asa, and nouns: chaya, maase, ivri, ola, regel, and other forms: rishon. All right, let's talk about the words. First, we have chaya. This is the verb in the kal that means to be. Most of the time, this doesn't occur in a copular construction where someone is something. Remember, we use the me Tarzan, you Jane sort of way of expressing this. But if we need to put something in the past tense or the future tense, then frequently we will see one of the forms of haya. It's a three-hey verb. It not only means to be, but it can also have a more active sense of to come to be, to come about, to happen, to occur. So you can see it in those sorts of constructions as well. The imperfect is yehye, and the jussive yehi. So remember in Genesis, when God is speaking into existence, that which is, he's forming by way of the cosmos, he uses this jussive form, yehi. Yehi or, let light be, and there was light. Next, hara. This is in the kal to conceive or to be pregnant. You will only see this in feminine forms because only women conceive or are pregnant. Chaya, in the kal, to live or to exist. So this is very similar to haya, to be, but it has the sense of being alive, to exist. And in the PL, it means to make alive or to restore alive. Chara, in the kal, it's to burn, to be kindled, or to be angry. And in the imperfect, it is both one guttural and three hey, yechare, yechare. And in the vayiktol form, vayichar, vayichar. Now, this verb is a bit unusual in that it's frequently used in what we call a third-person impersonal form. In Hebrew, to say that somebody was angry, we literally are saying it was hot to him, and we use the lamed preposition. It was hot to him. So, hara lo, it was hot to him, means he was angry. Next, nata, in the kal, to extend, stretch out, or spread out. Naka, in the hifil, to attack, strike, or, we don't really use this word very much anymore, to smite someone. No kal occurrences here. This occurs in the hifil. Allah, in the kal, to ascend, go up. Remember the verb yarad means to descend or go down. This is its opposite, Allah, to go up. We have a noun coming up that's related to the verb Allah. Ola is an offering or something that is, you know, going to arise to the Lord. Next, ana. There are different senses depending on the stem used, and these are really considered two different verbs. So ana, Roman numeral 1, has its own lexical entry in the dictionary or the lexicon. In the kal, it's to answer, testify, or sing. And then a different verb that happens to be pronounced the same way. So that's why it's Roman numeral 2 here. This one occurs in the PL, and it means to afflict or to oppress someone. These verbs are not related to each other, apparently, and you can see that by the fact that their meanings have absolutely no overlap. And then the final verb is asa, in the kal, to work, do, or make. And now the nouns, chaya. Chaya is a living thing or an animal. Notice that this sounds just like the verb chaya, but notice that the verb chaya has a double kametz, chaya, and there is no dagesh in the yod in the verb. In the noun, I have a short a under the chet, a pathak, and the yod has a dagesh forte there, chaya. So that is the noun form for a living thing, an animal. Ma'aseh is a deed or a work. Notice that this is built off of the verbal root asa, to do, to work. Ivri, this is the word for Hebrew. Ivri. The feminine singular form of Hebrew, like this is the masculine singular form, the feminine form would be Ivrit. I'd add a final tav there to make it feminine. Ola, this is a burnt offering. Notice that this can be spelled fully with the holom vav or defectively with just the holom. And then regal is the word for foot. And you know, feet come in natural pairs. So the dual form of regal would be raglayim, raglayim. And then finally, for other forms, rishon, rishon. The aleph there is quiescent, so you don't pronounce it. And sometimes you'll see it spelled with the kirik yod instead of the kirik and quiescent aleph here. And this is an adjective that means first, or it could be referring to something prior, former, or chief. Now, the next chapter is chapter 38, and the vocabulary for 38 is on 282. And 283. We'll read the forms here. Have you repeat after me. Ready? Verbs. Bo, bosh, bean, gur, kun, mut, nuach, nus, sur, kum, room, roots, sum, or seam, shuv, sheath, and or alternately to the left, shuth. All right, let's talk about these verbs. These are hollow verbs. Bo in the kal is to go in, to enter, to come in. Sometimes you could just translate it as to come. And in the hifil, it brings a causative sense to it, to bring someone in, to bring someone to a place. So it'll be transitive in the hifil, not transitive, intransitive in the kal. Bosh. This is a stative verb in the kal, to be ashamed or confounded. And in the hifil, it has a causative sense, to confound someone. It'll be transitive, you'll see a direct object. Bean in the kal is to discern, perceive, or understand. I believe we've had the noun bina, which is insight or perception. It's related to this verb. Gur in the kal is to lodge or to sojourn. Kun, in the nifal, to be established or prepared or to be faithful. And in the hifil, to set up, establish, or prepare something. Mut, in the kal, is to die or to be dead. You could conceive of this as being a stative verb. In the hifil, it means to cause someone to die, which means to kill someone. And it will be transitive. You'll take a direct object. Nuach, in the kal, is to rest or settle down. And if you remember from the lesson, the hifil actually has two alternate patterns. One where the prefix is in a open and long syllable, and one where the prefix is going to close the syllable with root one, and there will be a dagesh forte there, pattern A and pattern B. In pattern A, the hifil of nuach means to cause to rest, and in pattern B, to set something down, to lay it down, to put it in a resting position. Nus is to flee or escape in the kal. I always think of, literally a noose. If I were scheduled to be hanged and if I could flee or escape a noose, I would. Wouldn't you? So the hifil is to put to flight. Sur, to turn aside or to depart. That's the kal meaning. And if there was a sewer, I would turn aside from it, wouldn't you? The hifil of sewer is to cause to turn aside or to turn. turn someone away, to remove something or someone. Kum, in the cowl, to arise, stand up, or stand. In the hifil, it's causative. To cause something or someone to arise is to raise it or them up, or to establish. It'd be transitive there. Rum, in the cowl, is a stative. To be high, to be exalted. This is used, by the way, of Adonai in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord, Ram Vanessa, high and lifted up. The hifil is transitive. To cause someone to be high, to cause something to be high, is to raise it, to make high, to elevate something or someone. Roots in the cowl, to run or to rush. And as a way of remembering this, I remember as a child, a television series came on about slavery, and it was called Roots, R-O-O-T-S. And the opening scene was a slave, a catcher, chasing an African, trying to catch him, to enslave him. And I always think of Roots when I hear the word Roots, and it means to run, to rush. In the hifil, to chase away. And then the verb sum or seem, there seems to be some confusion among the Hebrew speaker as to whether this was middle vav or middle yod. But in the cal, it means to place, put, or set. And usually I'm going to see an object, to put something, and then a place, somewhere, usually with a prepositional phrase indicating where you put it. Shuv, in the cowl, to return. This is intransitive, to turn back, repeat, or in the moral sense, to return, meaning to return to God, it would mean to repent. Now, in the hifil, it becomes transitive. It's intransitive in the cowl, to return, like he returned home. In the hifil, to return someone or something somewhere. And so you could translate the hifil of shuv as to restore something or someone, or to bring something or someone back. And then finally, sheath and shuth. Again, some uncertainty among Hebrew speakers as to whether this was middle yod or middle vav. So you'll see both possibilities in usage. In the cal, this means to place, put, or set something somewhere. Now, the final chapter here in this audio segment is chapter 39, vocabulary, and that's on Ross, page 291 and page 292. Let's recite the verbs here. You can repeat after me. Arar, damam, halal, yatsav, madad, marar, Savav, Parar, Kalal, Ra'a, Shir, Shamam, Tamam, and nouns, Beged, and other forms, Terem, Saviv. Now let's talk about these. Arar, in the cowl, is to curse or banish someone. Arar. The cow passive participle is used in the Hebrew Bible. Arur. Remember pakud for the cow passive participle. Arur means cursed. Passive participle. Damam. This is stative in the cow. To be silent, astonished, or to be dumb, like you can't speak. And in the hifil, it's to destroy. To destroy. Halal. There's homonyms here, so halal, Roman numeral 1, is going to occur in the nifal for to defile oneself. Remember, the nifal can have a reflexive sense. And in the hifil, it's to pollute or to defile some object, a person or a thing. So it's transitive in the hifil. Now, the other halal, that sounds exactly the same way in terms of the root, but it occurs in the hifil, is to begin. Halal in the hifil, number 2, to begin. So remember that when verbs are pronounced the same or have the same root, but their meanings are completely and totally divergent from each other. There's no way that you can imagine that there would be any relationship in meaning. Chances are that they're really just two separate words that happen to share the same root letters. Next, we have yatsav. And in the Hithpael, it's to take one stand or to set or station oneself. So this is the reflexive notion of the Hithpael. It only occurs in the Hithpael. Madad is to measure in the Kal, to measure. And think about measuring up to Madad, right? If he's a good man, sometimes it's hard to measure up to Madad. Memory device there. Marar, to be bitter in the Kal. Kal stem, to be bitter. PL, to show bitterness. Hifil, to make bitter, to make someone be bitter. This is related, by the way, to the adjective mar, which means bitter. Feminine singular form would be mara. And if you remember the book of Ruth, Naomi, whose name means pleasant, asks to be called mara, which means bitter. Savav, in the Kal, to go around, surround, or turn about. And in the Hifil, to cause, to turn, to lead someone around. Parar, in the Hifil stem, to break, annul, or frustrate. Kalal, in the Kal, this is a stative verb, to be slight, to be trifling, or to be swift. And in the PL, it's to make light, to curse, or to make contemptible. And then in the Hifil, Kalal is to make light or to lighten something. Next, we have Ra'ah in the Kal. This geminate verb is stative, to be bad or evil. We remember the adjective Ra, which means evil or wicked. And so Ra'ah in the Kal, to be bad or evil. And the Hifil, to do evil or to cause evil. Shir is it's a hollow verb in the Kal, to sing. Remember, there's a noun shir, which also means song. Shamam is stative in the Kal, to be desolated, to be appalled. In the Hifil, to desolate a place or to ravage someone, a people. Tamam in the Kal, to be complete or to be finished. And in the Hifil, it has the sense, it's transitive, to complete something or to finish something. You would expect a direct object here with that. Okay, noun. We have beged, which is a segulet noun. It means garment. Garment. And in other forms, terem is an adverb, means before something. And saviv is an adverb. It can refer to a circuit. It can function as a noun, but it can also mean around or roundabout.